Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, 3 till 5 p.m. Pacific time, 6 till 8 Eastern, and of course 5 till 7 Central in New Zealand. It will be live on American Freedom Radio 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. And when the United States switches over to daylight savings time on November the 4th, the following being November the 5th, remember the 5th of November, ladies and gentlemen, because the local New Zealand time will be changing to midday till 2 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. So a little bit of advice for those who are listening live. We want to talk about some articles today, and two articles completely unrelated. First article, cannibal cop planned to cook and eat woman. And the other article is trust in police despite bungles. Now, these are totally unrelated. I just thought that was funny. So trust in police despite bungles. Police still have the trust and confidence of the public despite blows to their reputation over cases like the undercover operation against the Red Devils gang, Deputy Police Commissioner Mike Bush says. Have you ever noticed that the authority figures can never be trusted? Constantly, deliberately destroy stuff, including their own reputations, and consistently ask us to continue to trust them while they beat us over the head with a billy club. Police were this week on the receiving end of a stinging high court ruling which found they breached the court process by faking the prosecution of an undercover officer to protect his cover as he infiltrated the Nelson gang. This is something that happened back in the 70s and 80s, I believe. A man named Patrick McMurphy or something testified that he had been encouraged by his handlers as an undercover officer, one of the most decorated undercover officers in New Zealand history, to lie and in order to get convictions. And he got well over 100 convictions during his undercover career based on those lies. For instance, were you in the proximity of the drug dealer when he was smoking marijuana and selling marijuana? Yes. were you also smoking that marijuana? No, that was the lie. Because as soon as you say that I was the one taking drugs as well, then the prosecution can say that your evidence is inadmissible. Oh, he was on drugs. We can't trust his testimony. And so hence the police are schooled to lie so that they can get those convictions unlawfully. Justice Simon France's ruling has seen drug and other charges against 21 members of the gang and associates thrown out of court, although police may appeal. And this is something I've also become conscious of, is that the police work with gangs. And if the gang decides that they don't want to work with the police, then they start to have problems. There was an incident in Australia one of my listeners told me about where a couple of police walked right into a gang headquarters, stood them over, and said, give us your meth or we're going to bust you. So they gave them the 10 grand worth of meth, and then they took it across the road to a competing gang, sold it for them, and then took the cash. Whoa. That kind of changes things, doesn't it? Are the police really the gang, criminal, drug-running scum of your countries? You betcha. In some cases, most police officers don't have any idea that this is going on. My friend Grace Hayden from verisure.co.nz, who went into private verification and private security, private detective, etc., after being a 15-year veteran as a police prosecuting sergeant in court. And she told me the New Zealand police are so corrupt, you will either become corrupt or you will leave. Police last night said they would reassess aspects, quote-unquote, of the undercover operation after the judgment, which found they committed a, quote, fraud against the courts. If the police are willing to lie to you, the citizen, in order to enforce a fraudulent drug law, what say they don't also lie to the courts and fraud them too? The drug laws in themselves, the drug war in itself, while maybe not being the most expensive of fiscal policies, is one of the clearly most failed policies when you have illegal substances and public servants responsible for regulating said substances rather than a proper regulated market. Instead, it becomes an unregulated black market, and the possibility for corruption therein is very, very high because you have liquid, untraceable cash. That's what drugs become when they are made illegal. They turn into a cash commodity, an extremely profitable business. This is why drug dealers are popping up all over the place, because it requires very little input and not a whole lot of cost involved, and you can make a decent amount of money off of drug dealing if you know how to do it properly. And police and CIA routinely get caught trafficking said substances and using the money for black ops, bribes, etc. Mr. Bush, I love the correlation here, especially for the American audience, today accepted cases like the undercover operation, the Uruwera raids, and the Kim.com prosecution had an impact on police's reputation. These do impact, but we'd like to make sure that it's put in perspective, he told Radio New Zealand. Here's me putting it in perspective for you. Anybody heard of the Uruwera raids? Dig this. If you're an American, you'll love this because it happens to patriots all the time. With the Department of Homeland Security busting into your house for no freaking reason because you put something on the website or whatever. And what happens is they bust in, arrest you, destroy your life, based on nothing. And then eventually you get let out after being held in prison for goodness knows how long. And the whole intention is not necessarily just to bust you, but to scare the living frickin' daylights out of you so that you'll stop doing what you're doing. Also, to publicize said activity so other people who are of similar mind would look upon this incident and think to themselves, that could be me, unless I stop doing what I'm doing. And sure enough, many people stop doing the right thing because they fear the wrong thing being done to them by those whom are supposed to be enforcing law, order, and justice. The Uruwera raids are a very interesting incident. On that day that these raids happen, this is a small little area of New Zealand in a province called Tūhoe. Tūhoe are the only tribe who would not bow to the crown in New Zealand's history. They are the only piece of land and the only iwi, the only whenua, that did not wish to be part of the crown set-up agency. They did not want to be colonized, and as a direct result, they got demonized and ruthlessly crushed. And this is more like a repeat of history, because we had a Maori activist named Tame Iti and a number of others who were participating in a quote-unquote military-style training camp. Has anybody ever heard of a militia in the United States? You know how they're perfectly legal and they're guaranteed under the Constitution. And the reason why you have militias is not so if your country gets invaded per se by foreigners, but more if your government turns tyrannical and uses force against its own citizenry. You do need to have comparable, if not better, weaponry and training than the forces that would wish to suppress you in order to resist them. This is what I believe was going on here. I've had Tame Iti on the show a number of times. He's fully aware of the New World Order, and this is the reason why they were doing all this training. They would never attack the government. They would never take innocent life. They were only doing it, in my opinion, as a preparation for what they understand is going to be a global police state civil war if this is not stopped in the first place, a contingency, if you will. And Tame Iti is an older fellow. He paints in his garage with his grandchildren. Had the police simply come up and knocked on his door and said, bro, what's this training camp about? He would have told them absolutely everything they wanted to know, would have cooperated fully. But instead, the police spend an extraordinarily large amount of money, more than any other operation in New Zealand history, in order to surveil the small town where Tame Iti was living, with nearly 2,000 people, in order to place security cameras in the bush surrounding the training camp, collecting information and data and footage for a year, 2 years plus. Totally illegal. You can't surveil people like that. It's called an invasion of privacy. And the government, I feel, felt threatened by the fact that people would be soon capable of defending themselves against their tyrannical onslaught. So they decided to do a little test run, and they coordinated it with 28 other countries and a number of different agencies and outlets of the New Zealand police around the country. And activists, people like Tame Iti, people in Greenpeace, people in animal rights welfare activism, and a number of other people, anybody who was politically involved who was making waves, got raided at dawn. They had men with black ski masks and giant rifles with laser sights pointed at their children's heads. They bashed through their front doors of their rented accommodation with giant pulverizing, door-shattering polar devices. They freak everybody out. They yell. They scream. They gave no warning. And they arrested many innocent families, got their children to kneel down on the sidewalk in the middle of the morning, cold and afraid, with guns pointed at their heads. They called them the terror raids for a reason. This article here calls them the Uruwera raids. Among people, they were called the terror raids because it became clear on that day that it is the police and the government who are the terrorists indeed. The word terrorism is a political definition. Capitalism, fascism, communism, terrorism. Communism is defined by a ruling system for the community. Capitalism is a ruling system controlled by capital, and terrorism is a ruling system controlled by terror, fear, extortion, intimidation, in order to coerce the public into doing the will of the government. This is what happens here. On top of that, Kim.com, famed internet sensation, responsible for NiggerUpload.com, who signed the Black Eyed Peas and was going to give major record artists like the Black Eyed Peas a 60% cut of their album sales, as opposed to the average, which is about 2% from the major record labels. And then, after the this is my contention, after the major record labels found out that Kim.com was going to be threatening their business, they got the FBI involved in New Zealand, and they raided his house with 70 cops, guns drawn and everything like that, just like the terror raids. And the day previously, one cop had turned up, and Kim had invited him in, showed him all the way around, showed him their panic room, showed him their guns that were all legal, showed him everything. That was all they needed to do, was just knock on the door. And then the next day, after the police officer had been nicely shown around by Mr. Kim.com and shown all his weaknesses and all of his operations, and knowing that nothing was going on, 70 cops descend upon this mansion with helicopters and cars and guns. A man who opened the door for them the day previously to say hi with a big smile and have a look around. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified, abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
My name is Sean David Morton, and in 2010, I was called into the offices of the most high-powered law firm in the world on an estate matter of the utmost importance. After signing contracts promising I'd never reveal the identity of the people involved, I inherited the journals of a man that had spent 40 years in and become director of the global shadow government. It was the Holy Grail with information on the Unified Field Theory, the Roswell crash, the Philadelphia Experiment, the Sigma Treaty, Nazi super science, the Montauk Project, Area 51, the Dulce Mesa Wars, and treaties with extraterrestrial races and the back engineering of their hardware. But mostly, it had to do with the development of technology that would allow us to travel through time and fight a deadly alien threat that was only now on its way here to destroy our world. Read the book that I have risked my life to write. For the first time ever, read the truth about it all. Sands of Time, the runaway bestseller by Sean David Morton, available in signed limited edition hardback only at StrangeUniverseRadio.com.
Read this book and never be the same.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
No one's gonna say.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The caller lines are open, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Once again, 218-339-8525. I wanted to continue reading this article about the police because we had a chemtrail protest last weekend, and I'll be heading back down that way soon enough anyway, in Hamilton. And it's funny. You assault somebody in New Zealand, and you call the police. Oh, sorry, the other way around. Somebody assaults you, and you call the police. And the police say, okay, come down to the station within 48 hours. And fill out a report. Heard a report of a lady who called the police up and said, there's a man in my home who has just broken in. I need the police. And they said, come down to the station within 48 hours and make a statement. We were on the street corner protesting. I was wearing full camo gear and a gas mask. And within 5 minutes of a member of the public on a public holiday saying, calling into the police and saying that I was obstructing traffic, which I wasn't, a total lie. The police were there in 5 minutes. They not only, and not just any police, they sent a fracking sergeant. And they asked for all of the details of all of the protesters. They didn't get my details. They got my name. I'm required to give them my name. And he asked for my cell phone number, the sergeant did. And I said, well, do I have to give it to you? He said, well, no, you don't have to. I said, I'm not going to. And he says, oh, well, is there any reason why you won't? See, this is how cops do it. They try to weasel you out and try to make you find excuses for why you would treat them like anybody else. Random person in the street comes up to you, asks your cell phone number. Do you say yes or do you say no? It's like, no, I don't know you. Fuck off. Also, pardon me. FCC regulation bomb there. My bad. But that's the appropriate response for somebody who walks up to you randomly. People think in a uniform, it's somewhat different. It isn't. You could be anybody under that uniform. So I said to him, the reason why I'm not going to give you my cell phone number is because I don't have to. And I'm a public figure. I'm a radio show host. My name is Vinny Eastwood from the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. I broadcast live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And I've been to hundreds of protests with zero arrests. I aim to keep my record of not being arrested. Thank you very much for your time, Sergeant. And other than that, if you really want to get a hold of me, you can contact me through the website like everybody else. You're not special because you're wearing the color blue. You're not special because you have a black and white Masonic checker wrapped around a headband of your hat. You're not special because you swore an oath to the crown, which has been responsible for plundering this country for a long time, as well as building it up, much in the same way a farmer would raise a pig to be nice and fat so we can slaughter it and eat its bacon. So no thank you. It's not like you're a bad person, officer. Just I've been told to never say anything to police, ever, because it is their job to lie, it is their job to distort, it is their job to manipulate, it is their job to gather revenue. I don't come from Generation X or Generation Y. I come from the revenue generation. So you've got to look at it. You're a suckling pig that they are looking to slaughter. And I would always advise people, never reveal personal details to a police officer if you don't have to. The maximum they can ask for is your name, unless you have committed a crime. You should have no further business with them. You can explain things in an open and honest and transparent manner, but do not admit to anything. The other police officer came up to me, asked me what the protest was about, and I'd never told him that we were protesting. Somebody else had told him, and I don't know what they told him. So if I said yes, I was at the protest, I would have instantly admitted guilt with any random accusation that anybody else had thrown up, and I would have no defense. So the officer asked me, what was the protest about? And I say, you came here to talk to me, you tell me. Then he's forced to explain the situation, because previously he was hoping you would give him information without him having to give you any, so that you would not understand the context, so that he could control the argument. Do not let them control the argument. You are the most powerful person in that situation in terms of the words that can come out of your mouth to affect the outcome. And in worst case scenario, if you are guilty of something, for example, being at a protest, what a terrible crime, be nice and friendly, but change the subject. I noticed this police officer had dry, cracked lips, and I asked him if he was dehydrated. And he said, a little bit. And I said, well, man, you've got to make sure you're drinking your water every day, but not the tap water. And he's like, why is that? And I said, because it's got fluoride in it. He says, what, isn't that good for your teeth? And I said, well, it's only really good if it's used topically, kind of like the same equivalent of swallowing your sunscreen instead of putting it on your skin. That's the equivalent of putting fluoride in the water instead of brushing your teeth with it. And it's not pharmaceutical-grade fluoride either. And it has a long, sad history during the 40s when manufacturing started to beef up after the war. An awful lot of poison from manufacturing, such as aluminium smelters and phosphate fertilizers industries. They ended up with all this slurry, this chemical waste, toxic dumping type stuff called fluoride. One of the most hazardous substances on Earth. And they realized that it was illegal to dump said fluoride. So they used the law, as you do in these cases. If you want to do something illegal, you have to do it legally. Sorry. If you want to do something unlawful, you have to do it legally. Sorry. So lawfully, if you dump toxic waste into a water supply, that's against the law. Legally, if you sell fluoride to the council, it then becomes reclassified. Instead of being classified as dangerous toxic waste, it then becomes reclassified as a product, which means it is now legal, not lawful, but legal, to dump it into the water supply. And the cop is saying to me, like, what? I was like, yeah. And they just banned fluoride in a small New Zealand town called New Plymouth. Well, it was actually a moderate city. And during the conversation on the breakfast program here in New Zealand, they had stock footage of a council worker wearing a breathing apparatus and a hazmat suit dumping little sacks of fluoride into the water supply. Is anybody else freaked out by that? And you had a dentist arguing with the head of the New Zealand Fluoride Action Network, my good friend Mary Byrne, claiming that it is good for everybody's teeth. While everybody's watching this toxic stuff that a guy can't even breathe properly around without getting killed, is dumped into the water supply. It's not pharmaceutical grade. All right, the insanity of it. And it's not insanity. Well, it is in a way. Psychopathy is classified as a form of insanity, isn't it? Evil. That's what it is. It's an evil agenda. Okay, and I think anybody who ain't got no sort of spiritual side or whatever, like I come from two worlds. Okay, my dad's hardcore entrepreneur, genius. Mum, clairvoyant in a way. So I've got kind of the best of both worlds to deal with here. So when I talk about evil, I'm not talking about just physical or metaphysical. I'm talking about combining the two in a analytical and inescapably provable fashion. That's what I mean when I'm talking about evil. And this police officer was kind of looking a bit shocked at this point. And then I explained to him about dental fluorosis. Yeah, and I could see that his teeth had a little bit of dental fluorosis, or at least I thought I did. And I told him about the white mottling of the teeth, these little speckles and stuff like that that start up near the tips. And it's very, very mild dental fluorosis. And I told him that tooth decay rates have gone down anyway, but now dentists make more money treating dental fluorosis than they ever did treating tooth decay. And then dentists come out every chance they get to defend water fluoridation. Now, that was the first cop that talked to me. The sergeant talked to me second, as I mentioned earlier. And he goes, oh, well, you know, I see that you're pretty chilled and that kind of stuff. And I don't want to arrest anybody or lock anybody up on lunchtime or anything like that. So, yeah, cool, man. Are you going to be on any other locations? You know, see? You change the subject and you turn it into something about them. And suddenly they forget about you. And they start listening to how you can help them. Sometimes. That's if you got a cop. I was talking to a young guy, very nice, friendly, who literally came over just to listen. But understand that even a nice cop who has the perspective to just come over and listen is still trained to twist and distort and try and find any reason at all to arrest you. Now, he doesn't want to go through the paperwork and all of that kind of stuff, so he'll avoid it if he can, and New Zealand police are good like that. But understand the parameters in which you're dealing with these people. Okay? There's a human being underneath that suit who cares about his country, cares about you. So, and sometimes there ain't a human being under that suit. Sometimes these cops are, for lack of a better word, demonic. I've been arrested a couple of times, and I've had a couple of my friends arrested as well. All of us for cannabis, of course. So we get arrested after never harming anybody, never causing any damage to property, and then we get roughed up, handcuffed, shoved into the car without even so much as our seatbelt being put on, rattle around, hurt our head on the window as they drive fast around the corners, as they jeer and laugh and call us the stupidest stoners they've ever seen, how they call us the scum of the earth, how they take your shoelaces, your belt, your wallet, your phone, your sacred necklace that you had around your neck, you cut it off with a pair of scissors. They take everything from you. They completely dehumanize you. And they laugh at you. And they enjoy it. You have not known rage until you are locked in a small cubicle of a room with nothing but a plastic-covered, uncomfortable mattress, no blanket, waiting there for an indefinite period of time while you can hear down the hall the police laughing their asses off at you. You don't know rage. And I would encourage people to never get arrested. This is what I'm telling people. This is how you deal with cops. Because for every good cop there is, mate, it gets overshadowed totally by the scum. And this is actually what Deputy Police Commissioner Mike Bush, as we were referring to earlier, was really talking about, is that we're all a bunch of corrupt scum, but just keep trusting us that we can keep being corrupt scum, just so that possibly on the odd occasion when one of our police officers isn't a corrupt a-hole, he can just do his job properly and help the community for once. That's what he's saying. Just trust us because occasionally we're not assholes. No. I say don't trust a single freaking one of them. You can't. It is insane to do so. No more than you can trust a McDonald's employee to know all of the inner workings of the entirety of the McDonald's Corporation. They don't know. And they will simply serve you with whatever carcinogenic GMO 1,000 cow per patty containing polyurethane cheese on top crap that they're told to shovel in your face. Police are no different. No wonder people don't trust them, because they can't be trusted. Those who trust their authority figures are simply giving away their own personal decision-making capacity. What you're saying is, I don't know right from wrong, and I have to have somebody else with a uniform and an official stamp from the Queen to tell me what right is from wrong, and I can't take any personal responsibility anymore, so I'll admit everything and continue to be a slave. We'll be right back after the break.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. Tuberculite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Tuberculite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Tuberculite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
On election day, I stay home. I don't vote. I don't vote. Two reasons I don't vote. First of all, it's meaningless. This country was bought and sold and paid for a long time ago. They shuffle around every 4 years. Doesn't mean anything. And secondly, I don't vote because I believe if you vote, you have no right to complain. People like to twist that around. I know. They say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But where's the logic in that? If you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get into office and screw everything up, well, you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. I, on the other hand, who did not vote, who, in fact, did not even leave the House on election day, am in no way responsible for what these people have done and have every right to complain as loud as I want about the mess you created that I had nothing to do with.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Revolutionary discovery changes your DNA and restores perfect cells. Listen to Transcension every Saturday at 2 p.m. Central on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our status have gone with us. Our needs are now different and our aims. The conditions which framed and taught us our status have gone with us. The world we knew is gone.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Now, as Mr. Bush, the Deputy Police Commissioner, was saying, those incidents that I referred to earlier, you know, Kim.com and or the terror raids and what have you, He said that they were only three cases compared with the 130,000 prosecutions last year. Now, what he means is there's only three bad cases that are really, really bad that overarchingly are obviously fact that we're criminals and we're corrupt. But what he's saying is they got away with it 130,000 other times. Quote, the New Zealand police is absolutely focused on the trust and confidence that the New Zealand public has in it. You know why? Because if you trust criminals, they get away with their crimes. Simple as that. That's what fraud is. You need a person to be susceptible to your lies and your manipulation in order to continue to run a scam on them and treat them as a revenue source. It's really pleasing that at the moment, the trust and confidence that the public have in us is at 77%. That's the highest I think it's ever been. And of course, I would probably wager the amount of people who are not trusting of the police have all had specific experiences that prove for them, beyond reasonable doubt, that cops are corrupt and cannot be trusted. So let's take the other side of that. That means that 23% of this country, more than one in five, have had a corrupt experience with police or a friend who has, okay, who has told them about it. Quote, but that's not good enough for us. We want to maintain and grow that trust and confidence because it makes us do a better job of revenue generation and keeping the slaves in line. Mr. I'm being really negative against the police here, aren't I? But again, I want to stress, there are good police officers. You have any idea how difficult it is to bribe a police officer in New Zealand? It's impossible. You get arrested every single time you try. But if you're talking to a police commissioner, and you try to bribe him, it's a different story. You need a heck of a lot more to bribe him with, though. Mr. Bush said police did not take part in undercover operations without, quote, a really considered and measured approach and legal advice. They considered and they measured and they sought legal advice and they figured out that no matter how brutal, how corrupt they are, they can still get away with it. And here's how I can prove that. How many police went to jail over the terror raids or Kim.com's raid on the mansion? How many? Knowingly breaking the law, unlike their victims. How many are going to jail? The answer is, as the answer always is, none. The law is open to a number of interpretations. We try very hard to get it right. They make sure that you can't interpret the law and only they can. That's why whenever they give you a direction, they ask you, do you understand? And you think, foolishly, that if I understand, it means that I comprehend. No. If you understand, it means you are under the standing of that police officer. You understand that he has authority over you. You stand under his authority. That's what it means. And they manipulate it, and they try very hard to get it right. As he said, we take the best advice we possibly can, but as we know, with our system, every legal decision is reviewable as it goes up the line. Yeah, it gets reviewed by one of the judges in New Zealand, about 65% of which are related as closely as first cousin. And even if you go all the way to the Supreme Court, there are only eight judges there, all of which have ties to the Bar Association, all of which have ties to a long, long history of applying the law as they're basically being told to, not really acting in the judicial capacity at all. And out of those eight judges, two of them are husband and wife. So you can imagine what would happen in New Zealand if you tried to expose a corrupt judge and the type of apparatus that you'd actually be going up against. This is something my friend Vince Seamer knows an awful lot about at KiwisFirst.com. It's Kiwis, K-I-W-I-S, first.com. Now, he's an American who came over here and found just how corrupt the New Zealand judiciary is and became a watchdog to protect the interests of New Zealanders from corrupt judicial scumbaggery.
Asked if it was a standard practice to clear positions operations with a judge, Mr. Bush said, if we were to do anything like this, we would seek the direction or the permission of the judiciary. And as you've heard in this case, we did absolutely that. Even Justice Winkleman, who Vince Seymour exposed, we were talking about the terror raids just before, said that 7 out of the 9 issued warrants were unlawful. So, yeah, they go ahead and they get all this nice judiciary oversight and da-da-da-da, and then what? 7 out of the 9 times they're found to be illegally operating? And then Justice Winkleman, she sealed that judgment so that the media would not be able to report such an important fact. Vince Seymour, on the other hand, from KiwisFirst.com, I want to mention this again because he's such a freaking good dude, reported it anyway and was sent to prison with nothing but a cardboard box for a toilet in solitary confinement. And they arrested him when he stepped off the plane coming back from America after holding the trial against him in his absence while he was in the States on business, knowing full well that he would not be able to defend himself and they could issue a summary judgment and arrest him the second he came home. That is the New Zealand judiciary. That is the New Zealand police. This article that I'm reading out here is public relations propaganda. Yes, we lied. Yes, we're corrupt. Yes, we're terrible. Yes, we're terrorists. But trust us, because we love you. And we're trying to help you by being terrorists, by being corrupt, by being liars. Trust us, so we can continue to be corrupt, so we can continue to cheat you, so we can continue to lie with impunity. Trust us. People always give the government agents the benefit of the doubt. And they save that judgment for the public. They don't give the public the benefit of the doubt. Members of the public, average people like you and me, wouldn't hurt a person, wouldn't steal their stuff, wouldn't do anything like that. But we're the ones who are unworthy of trust. And the government, who predominantly, in my opinion, is marred by corruption, abuse of power, deception, and other forms of eclectic scumbaggery, they always ask us to keep continuing to trust them. And foolishly, we do. I don't think that's going to hold forever. Especially not if radio show hosts, media personalities, and those who are attempting to spare society the horror of a police state do their due diligence and inform the public about the real facts that are going on here and retort against the lies, expose them by revealing facts and evidence, something which the police sadly very rarely even need anymore because people are so foolish that they admit to things and cut themselves off from the right against self-incrimination. Has it become any more obvious to you that you're a slave driving down the road, 5 kilometres over the speed limit? Police officer flashes his lights at you, and when a police officer flashes his lights, he's technically declaring an emergency. You went 5 kilometres over the speed limit. Is that an emergency? No, the cop's breaking the law. He comes up to your car and he says, do you know how fast you were going? Hoping that you will admit that he won't have to prove in court anything. And you go, oh, what? I was only going 5 kilometres over the speed limit. Boom. Gotcha. He suddenly needs no evidence. You suddenly have accepted a $180 fine. You are a slave, and it is now your turn to pay the slave master in blue. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the vinnyeastwoodshow.com. Call-in lines are open. I'd like to take some callers in the second hour. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Once again, 218-339-8525. You can also join us in the chat room at the vinnyeastwoodshow.com or Google Vinny Eastwood Chat. The CIA knows exactly where to find me. We'll be right back next hour with more conspiracy and comedy on the lighter side of genocide, the Vinny Eastwood Show.
Anxiety on a daily basis? Do you struggle to complete tasks, feel nervous in social settings, or are you losing sleep because of anxiety, worry, or health concerns? Let me tell you about a breakthrough discovery that changed my life. My name is Kirsten, and anxiety plagued me daily. I listened to the wonderful testimonials about RNA drops and decided to use them myself, beginning gradually from just a few drops to the recommended dosage. I'm happy to report that I experienced a significant decrease of anxiety, and that was just the beginning. After you hear the incredible stories at GetMyRNA.com, you can get a free trial-sized bottle valued at $50. Just pay shipping and handling. Again, that's GetMyRNA.com for your free trial-sized bottle today. Nothing is as important as feeling good again. Supplies are limited, so visit GetMyRNA.com right now.
Or see our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
What would you do if you or someone that you loved was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcendent process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the major media destroys information, and religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
What you hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
No rules, no rules,
no taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.
Everyone's asleep.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. I'm going to go to our first caller of the day here, a 705 area code. It's an unknown number, so I'm going to ask you for your first name and just the general area that you're calling from, the state, if you will.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Well, hello, how are you, my friend?
I'm really good. What's your name, man?
My name is Randy, and I'm a gentleman from Canada.
Which state in Canada?
I'm in Ontario. I'm like Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a little better than Toronto, though. I'm about an hour and a half north. In a small town on a beautiful beach.
Oh, that's got to be nice.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've had a heck of a life, brother. And it brought me here, and 25 years ago, this was unimaginable.
You reckon?
I'll just give you a quick briefing for yourself and your listeners. At the age of four, my mother killed my father. I grew up in an orphanage till the age of 14, where I was beaten every second day. Then I was thrown into 20 group homes. Then I was put on the streets, where I was beaten by the police and incarcerated for a large majority of my adult life. Then I was in prison and was making a phone call to another party. And in Canada, the Bell Canada operators place those calls for you. Well, the woman who was the Bell Canada operator and I started talking, she gave me her home phone number, and we've been together now 18 years, and I've never been back to jail.
Well, have you noticed that the darker the hole that you wind yourself being put in, you can still always crawl your way out if you try?
Well, you know what it takes? It takes... I think it takes, unfortunately for me, and I'll only speak for me, brother, it took getting tired of the beatings. Not only the ones that were placed on you, but the ones you placed on yourself. But you are 100% correct that there is an absolute issue with the authority of the police running rampant, not only in every small town and major city across America, but in my opinion, the world.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In Canada, you share the exact same police structure as we have. I mean, we don't have Mounties, though, but that's about the only difference.
Oh, they're insane, my friend. It's like I say to people, it's almost like something has been satanically prayed into the uniform, and the second they put the uniform on, they become this violent, hungry, authoritative monster of a human being that will do anything in their power to belittle you because you're not a fellow police officer.
You know, I've called that the insanity or the demon possession of the uniform. You get an ordinary, caring, decent individual, and you put a uniform in them that is imbued with tyranny and scumbaggery, and they will start to emit those same symptoms.
Isn't that incredible?
It's
like, to me, it is. Now, when I was 17 years old, I was living on the streets as a young punk. And this police officer, this is, I got to tell you, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, I guess. Long story short, I'm in a donut shop because that's where we hung out as kids. And the cop came in and he looks at me kind of funny. He asked me for ID. I told him I didn't have any bud. And he goes, "Bud, I'm not your bud. You don't understand what bud means. It means big, ugly dummy." Well, that would have been about the worst thing I could have said to him. Because two nights later, I'm walking down the street, and him and his partner grabbed me, beat the snot out of me, threw me into a police car, beat me again, got me to the police station, beat me again, and planted drugs on me. And that officer, that same cop, is notorious in the city of Toronto for doing that, and he's been doing it his entire career. Now he's like some kind of a high-ranking sergeant, well-respected among all other police as being this upstanding, wonderful policeman.
Have you noticed that almost everything that you point to as authority, as being an example why the authority is good, you actually find the direct opposite example staring back at you?
Oh, absolutely. It becomes too much.
It's like a distorted mirror, Randy.
Yes. And I see your point 100%. I own my own business. And, you know, I have a lot of, you know, I run a sales company. So I get a lot of young people that come in and I hire them to train them to be salesmen. And they always want to call me boss. And I tell them right from the beginning, I'm not your boss. I'm a guy that knows something you want to learn. Hopefully I can teach it to you and you can make some money. But I'm not your boss. Because myself, personally, I don't like being in an authoritative position. Not that I can't handle being a boss or that I can't handle being a person of authority. I just find that, for me, it's an uncomfortable thing to wear. I don't wear people looking up to me in that way well. And I think that a lot of these authority figures that we know that are running this world and that have lost their minds over this, you know, authority, I think that they've never had any in their lives. They've never been respected. They've never been looked up to. And all of a sudden, this is their 5 minutes of fame. And I think they take it so far that they can't turn back.
Well, you know how the saying goes, with great power comes great responsibility. I think
that's
it's
right.
The opposite way around. with taking great responsibilities, you get given great power and you've earned it and you know how to use it responsibly.
Yeah. And isn't it amazing? Here's what I even said this to her, because, you know, all of my all of my friends are on the same page, my friend. But we, you know, we discuss, you know, what's coming, and we're all wide awake. I haven't got a single person in my life that isn't awake, and I'm not going to take credit for waking them up. I believe that has to do with God timing and their ability to have an open mind. But I have nobody in my life that isn't awake. So everybody I talk to is in respect to these types of topics. And it amazes us that it's not like it's one small town that got a hold of a couple of two or three bad apples. It's not like a major city where they're, you know, they're being assholes, for the lack of a better word, in the inner cities or in the, you know, the poverty side of town, which isn't acceptable neither. And that's not what I'm saying. But it's every single town. It's every major city. It's every police force. It's literally out of every 100 policemen, you might find two that haven't been corrupted.
Well, dig this. I want to read out just the first couple of paragraphs of this article. You'll appreciate this. Cannibal cop plans to cook and eat women. A New York police officer allegedly plotted to kidnap up to 100 women, roast them in his oven or over a fire, and eat them, federal authorities say. According to a criminal complaint, Gilberto Valle, an active New York Police Department officer, sounds very mafioso to me, discussed kidnapping, cooking, and eating body parts of women with an unnamed witness. The duo allegedly discussed using chloroform to knock their prey out, then bring them back to 28-year-old Valle's kitchen, where the officer said he had a big enough oven if I folded their legs. He's slow cooking her on a spit over an open fire, or roasting her alive in a cage was also considered. Is this not a symptom of a sick profession?
There's something going on. I don't think that I personally could put my finger on exactly what it is, but it's certainly very evil.
Hold on, Randy. We use the word demonic.
I like that word. I want to use it.
Kidnapping 100 women and eating and roasting them.
Well, that's demonic. That by itself is absolutely demonic. There is no doubt that that's some kind of a satanic, demonic, sacrificial ritual that goes beyond, you know, going out for some takeout. No pun intended.
And this is one person who blew the whistle on this guy because he witnessed this. How many times have police done corrupt things in front of you, ladies and gentlemen, where you haven't laid a formal complaint against that officer? The vast, vast, vast majority of the time. So there could be 99 officers like this walking around New York, killing women as we speak, and we'd never know.
You would never know, and they get away with it because they've been given so much respect, and they've been given so much love without earning it.
It's trust.
My wife got charged recently for dangerous driving. She had just gone out of the hospital. She had a stomach full of stitches. She had all of her upper intestines removed. And she was coming back from the doctor's the second day after being released from the hospital. And some woman thought that she was drunk because I guess she didn't go off the green line quick enough or off the green light. Long story short, she gets pulled over. The cop hustles her out of the car, charges her with impaired driving, gets her to the station. They do a whole breathalyzer, blood test, everything. They take that charge off because she's not drunk and instead charge her with dangerous driving. And when we spoke to the lawyer said, yeah, that's exactly what they do. If they mischarge you for drunk driving, they give you the lesser charge of dangerous, when really there was no dangerous driving, period. So they're corrupt everywhere. But when you go in front of a judge, and your audience will understand this, and you say to a judge that this officer is lying, and you present evidence that proves that the officer is absolutely 100% lying, the judges are given a standard line that they use. And that line is this: I have no reason to believe that this officer would lie. And that's what you're going to hear every time you accuse a police officer of lying.
Well, I have mentioned this on the show today and many other times, is that police are not only encouraged, not only trained, but they are schooled in the craft and the expertise of lying. Now, the only reason they do that, in my opinion, is because they enforce so many laws that are based on lies. If they weren't as sufficient and capable deceivers as those who passed that legislation into law, they would not be able to enforce said lies and said corrupt legislation. This is hence the reason why every single time that you see these corrupt fracks doing their dirty business, stand up to them. I know people in New Zealand who literally camp out outside at like 9 o'clock in the morning, corrupt police officers home, and bullhorn them. They wound up having to spend a few nights in jail, but that officer never arrested them again because he knows that he doesn't want to have his home and his private space invaded, does he? And Randy, I want to thank you very much.
Hey, I want to thank you, and you're a wonderful man. You're doing a great pleasure and a great service, not only to New Zealand, but to the world. And I want to just applaud you for that, my friend.
Randy, you know, it's I got to tell you, bro, that means a lot to me because, have you ever heard of the American dream? And have you noticed how it seems to be going farther and farther away? Because the American dream is no longer held by the government of America, but it is still held by Americans. A friend of mine last night said, I hate America so much. I would just love to see, you know, just firebombing Washington, D.C. And I said to him, my friend, it is not the Americans that are to blame here. It is the government. If you firebomb America, you won't hit America. You will only hit Americans. And this platform that I've been given by American Freedom Radio was not given to me by the government, was not given to me by any major corporation. It was given to me by an American.
It was given to you by the people, for the people. America, unfortunately, in my opinion, is beginning to see the beginnings of the wrath of God. And they are under, unfortunately, one of the four judgments of God, and that judgment is the judgment of abandonment. I feel very sorry for the people of America. I know, you know, I deal with a lot of Americans in business. They're great people, but they've been sold the wrong dream.
That's right. Now, we need to wake up and realize the real American dream. Like Vinnie Eastwood, he didn't even have to go to America in order to collaborate with Americans and pull myself up from my bootstraps. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, in any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Now, there's one thing you might have noticed I don't complain about. Politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah!
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. And term limits ain't going to do you any good. You're just going to wind up with a brand new bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe something else sucks around here, like the public.
My name is Sean David Morton, and in 2010, I was called into the offices of the most high-powered law firm in the world on an estate matter of the utmost importance. After signing contracts promising I'd never reveal the identity of the people involved, I inherited the journals of a man that had spent 40 years in and become director of the global shadow government. It was the Holy Grail, with information on the Unified Field Theory, the Roswell crash, the Philadelphia Experiment, the Sigma Treaty, Nazi super science, the Montauk Project, Area 51, the Dulce Mesa Wars, and treaties with extraterrestrial races and the back engineering of their hardware. But mostly, it had to do with the development of technology that would allow us to travel through time and fight a deadly alien threat that was only now on its way here to destroy our world. Read the book that I have risked my life to write. For the first time ever, read the truth about it all. Sands of Time, the runaway bestseller by Sean David Morton, available in signed limited edition hardback only at StrangeUniverseRadio.com.
Read this book and never be the same.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them. Your life, as it has been, is over.
Don't miss the Middle Chamber of Greater X on AFR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift, Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I apologize to the person who called in from a 912 area code where I was going to answer your call, and then we got rudely interrupted by the break. I was hoping you'd hold over, but you hung up. So the call-in line is still open if you'd like to call back, and anybody else who wants to ring in, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Now, moving on from the subject of police, we could literally go on for 100 years of it to explain the eclectic scumbaggery. But before I change subject, though, I wanted to, you know how some words have a very interesting origin, and suddenly it makes a whole lot of sense once you know the origin of the word, how it's actually used in the context of today. Has anybody ever heard the term cops? Or in England, you would call them coppers. Huh? During the settlement of New York, the urbanization process forced many, many people closer together in a density that had not really been experienced at any other part in the United States. Crime became a great problem in the city, and at the time there was no such thing as a professional police force. So the New York Police Department, NYPD, was formed, and they had very little budgets. They couldn't really do a whole lot of training. They would give them a hat and a jacket and a little club, but that was about it. And they had badges made from the cheapest metal available at the time, roofing copper. So they had badges made of copper, and people started to call them coppers, which later turned into the word cops, as we know it today. So there's a little interesting thing for you. School drug test ban, outrage. A law change soon, and you know how this is happening in America, I see, all over the time, and now here it comes to New Zealand, about drug testing students and metal detectors, all that kind of stuff. We're virtually unfamiliar with that stuff entirely down here. But we'll go on and read the article. A law change to ban schools from drug testing students will seriously dent, quote-unquote, the ability of teachers to stop drugs entering the school gates, the principal's union says. So, the endless justification. Oh, we need to prevent drugs from coming on the school premises. Now, if I was a smart man, which I am, I would say, why don't you just legalize the drugs so that these kids would have to show an R18 ID in order to have access to them? Hence, school kids would be greatly prohibited. There ain't a kid in New Zealand or a kid in America who, if they wanted drugs, whether marijuana or prescription, couldn't go find some today. That is how horrific the laws are around drug control. And they are used because, drugs are so dangerous, as a endless justification to take away people's rights to privacy. I mean, for all you know, a parent may have taken the decision that their 16-year-old son has a little bit of a attention deficit disorder problem, and when he ingests a little bit of cannabis with his father, all those difficulties and his problems learning go away, and his hyperactivity disappears, and he becomes a much more balanced individual, capable of listening, and that sort of thing. A parent may, for all intents and purposes, take that decision. And that's a parent's right, I believe, to do whatever they want with their child, whatever they believe is right, and it's not for the place of any other parent to tell them how they should and should not raise their children. It's certainly not the right of the schools. It's certainly not the right of the government. But now progressive legislation is being put in place so that you can't make those kind of parental decisions even if you wanted to. Now, I'm just using an extreme example here, and I do not advocate the use of cannabis for young people. Personally, the first time I actually smoked it was at the age of 19 when I was in university. And I had specifically held myself off from being a cannabis user, and in fact was severely anti-drug up until that point. And the reason or the justification for doing this was that I believed drugs stunt the growth of the brain in the younger years before it has reached full development, full maturity, and usually by the ages of 21 or so, much of your brain and its general structure has been built, and by the age of 25, the general structure is solid. So if you're going to be using any type of mind-reactive substance and you wish to avoid any type of major rechanneling of your brain's development, I would probably recommend parents advise their children from a young age, lay off it until maybe the age of 25 or whatever. And when you become an adult at the age of 18, you can make your own decision about that. But it's up to individual choice. And when you're a parent up until the age of 18, you have to make those choices for your children. I do not believe that the law or schools should be able to make that choice for people's children, personally. Secondary Principals Association President Patrick Walsh said parents would be outraged by the change. Oh, we can't drug test your children against your will and without even telling the parents. Your parents will be outraged that they now have absolutely no criminalizing, demonizing BS stuff that they can throw at children who already have it hard enough in their life, probably in their home situation and maybe also in school being picked up, that they're taking drugs to escape from the fact that school is trauma-based mind control. They're taking drugs to escape the fact that when they go home, their parents ignore them and they just sit on the couch watching TV and just feel miserable because all they want to do is play frisbee with dad outside, but dad's too busy doing nothing. This is such a poignant issue. Where are the parents at? Parents are now abdicating almost all responsibilities for raising their children onto other people, and particularly government authorities. This is the same problem that I've talked about earlier with the police, is that if you don't know right from wrong yourself, you abdicate the responsibility of right or wrong to an arbitrary force who is willing to simply take away your rights all too willingly. Prohibiting the use of drug dogs in schools. You walk into school and there's German shepherds barking at you like you're walking into frickin' Auschwitz. And stopping schools from drug testing students who have been caught using drugs in schools to ensure they're clean. Oh, to ensure they're clean, like they're on probation, you know. This is just another way of criminalizing kids. I know plenty of kids who were using drugs from a very young age who have grown up to be real losers. And I have known far more, on the other hand, who have been using drugs from a young age, go on to be some of the top creative people in their fields. The difference being, some of them got criminalized from an early age and got a real pin on their shoulder, even bigger than the one that they already had, against the system, and attempt to escape from it even further and get further and further into addiction and depression, which fuels the more addiction to escape the depression. It's an endless cycle. Shockingly horrific facts. And the other people, on the other hand, who never got arrested, who are always encouraged to be responsible when ingesting substances, who are always had their creativity stimulated by real conversations around them at the time when they were just young men or women ingesting marijuana or having a few drinks or whatever with their elders or their peers or anything of that nature, they can more or less go on to become very, very healthy, productive and creative members of society. It is the environment that causes the social degradation, and the illegality of drugs is the thing that truly makes the drugs dangerous. Okay? The law is the danger, not the drugs. And I can assure you that I have had far worse effects on my life and my consciousness through the physical actions of people acting lawfully to persecute me for doing non-violent drug offending than any amount of damage that I've ever received from any amount of hangovers or anything of the kind. It is not proportional. I think the public and parents would be outraged at this because the overarching principle is we want our schools to be drug-free. Mr. Walsh said the law changes would give schools very little power to detect drugs. If you want to detect drugs, you watch out for certain symptoms. For example, is somebody's eyes blazing red? Do they smell like weed? Then they're probably smoking weed at school, and they probably shouldn't be. So you bring him into the principal's office, ask him what the problem is. Are there any problems at home? Do you need help? It is a health issue, not a disciplinary issue. There is a reason why people break laws. It's because they don't see the value in them, because laws have never cared about them. So why should they care about the rules? Why should they care about the laws? They become despondent because they don't comprehend why these laws are there. I believe if a student leader or teacher or principal were to say to these children, the law is not on your side. The law is there specifically to turn you into a slave. And I, as an administrator, am here to ensure that you don't break those rules, which will ensure that you become a slave to society, that you obey things without question. Now, that's my job description. However, you've got a choice. You cannot escape from it using drugs. You could perhaps homeschool yourself. What are the problems in your classroom? What are the problems in your life? Do you have problems with your parents? Are you getting enough food to eat for breakfast? What is your diet like? Are you eating plenty of fresh fruits and vegetables? Are you drinking enough water? Is your health all in locked down position? Because when you're unhealthy, your brain has difficulty dealing with emotional trauma and stress, and often we will reach for the bottle of pills, which we think are the magic solution to it all, but only masks the symptoms and does not truly solve the problem. Here's how you eliminate and make schools drug free. You make the school a place where the children actually want to be. You make your teachers care about the children, particularly the troubled ones. The reason why you look after the troubled kids the most, or should do, rather than attack them and destroy them the most, is they have the most to gain from love, respect, and personal responsibility. The other children who stay in line, never stick their head out or anything like that, they'll go on to be doctors, lawyers, etc. They don't need any more help. They've already got a privileged position because they're capable of accepting the mind control programming and regurgitating, and will be rewarded later on in society with power, authority, and wealth that they will wield over other people. They can't be helped in a lot of ways, unless, of course, you decide to interject real information that actually allows them to expand their minds. The difficulty is, in a teaching environment where you've got 30 kids to one teacher, you can't spend all that time teaching them about these things according to the curriculum. Okay? The curriculum forbids you from doing the right thing by kids. The law forbids you from doing the right thing by the people. Okay? It forbids you. You're not allowed to do the right thing. It's illegal. If you don't do the wrong thing, on the other hand, you'll find all these legal justifications and all these false arguments that you can use as a perfectly packaged excuse to extort, lie, manipulate, and act in ways that otherwise promotes and connotes scumbaggery. We should be caring more about people. Now, these schools could not require students to present a medical certificate because that would require them giving a sample, which this bill that's being passed here explicitly prohibits. Mr. Walsh said the current practice in schools was to suspend students caught using drugs at school. Not to say, we want to try and figure out what the real problem is here. We'll just get you out of our hair for a couple of days. I got suspended 17 times in my high school career. So the fact that I was suspended so many times, don't you think if they just had one real face-to-face, honest conversation with me as an adult trying to help me, that I would have been suspended maybe 16 less times? Probably. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, 218-339-8525.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. Tuberculite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Perculite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Perculite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Perky water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Perky banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Perky water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
I'm down south recently. I'm playing a town. This is absolutely true. It was in all the papers. It was on CNN. Apparently, everyone in this town saw these UFOs. And I'm curious. I asked people what it was like. Oh, man, it was incredible. Incredible. People came from miles around to look at them. A lot of people came armed. Excuse me? People are bringing shotguns to UFO sightings. Don't you think there's a point where we're going to drop the weapons? I mean, you know, the mothership comes. Maybe we don't know everything. Not like some intergalactic skeet shoot. There goes one out! Bringing shotguns to UFO sightings, man. Kind of brings whole new meaning to that phrase, you ain't from around here, are you, boy? So I said to the guy, I go, why do y'all bring shotguns to UFO sightings? He said, well, we don't want to be abducted. I'm thinking, yeah, and leave all this. He said, huh?
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, I completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. Make sure to tune in to Green Wave Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Hard hitting and in your face, America.
Vinnie Eastwood Show, right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, 5 days a week. You can also listen to it in
Ifinity IFM, midnight till 2 a.m. local New Zealand time. I don't know exactly what time that is in the States, but if you go to ifinityfm.co.nz, you can actually listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show being broadcasted 5 days a week in a different time. So that's quite interesting and happy to hear. Now, getting on to another article here. PMS moods mostly myth, says a study. Researchers find new links between feelings and menstrual cycle. A long-held belief that women are moody in the days before their pyramid is largely a myth, according to a New Zealand researcher. Does this guy have a missus? Oh my god! It's I'm gonna keep reading the article because I've instantly got lots of arguments against it. But let's see what he's got to say. Drawing on 41 studies dating from 1971 to 2007, Dr. Sarah Romans, who doesn't have a missus, or maybe she does, and colleagues at the University of Toronto found little evidence to support the theory that there is a link between mood and the premenstrual phase. Maybe my girlfriend's just angry with me in general. It could be something. I don't want to be a sexist here, but, you know, men are stupid and women are crazy. Okay, that's what I've figured about relationships. And so the man has to realize that he's stupid and he has to trust that his missus is smarter than him, but the woman has to realize that she's crazy and realize that the man is more reasonable than him, even though he's not quite as bright. Or at least that's how I've tried to position myself in my relationship anyway. And we get along really well because I don't think that I can solve all her problems. And she, strangely enough, thinks she can solve all of mine. And as a result, we both actually solve a decent amount of our own problems and help each other with the problems that we can't solve on our own as a man or a woman. Just 15%. Of the studies reporting negative mood in this phase, while 38% found no link at all. Another 38% of the studies found there was a link during the premenstrual phase, but also during the menstrual phase. And in 9% of studies, women had negative moods at a time unconnected to their period. Women have a lot of strong emotions, and this got loads down to the structure of the brain. And as I mentioned, women are a bit smarter than men in a lot of ways. And this goes down to the short-term, long-term memory and the intensity of the senses. Women take on average through their senses about 1,000% more information just in a moment than a man will. We've got less sensitivity of touch. Our eyes aren't quite as sharp, our visual acuity. Same with hearing, taste, smell, all the senses. And there's a reason for this, because men, when they have, if they were to have such intense experiences and emotions, it would stop them from doing things like survival and what have you, because they'd be overwhelmed at the time. We seem to be capable of shutting off a lot of that sensitivity in order to focus on the time at hand. Women, on the other hand, their brain has what's known as a very strong long-term memory function, whereby a man will see something and it will stick in his short-term memory for a small period of time until it loses its relevance. But the female brain will store things instantly to long-term memory. This is why if you're a man and you put down your keys and you forget where they are and you ask your girlfriend knows instantly where they are and you have no idea. And you're like, how does she do that? You know, you're looking in the fridge for something and you know it's right there in front of you and you can't see it because your visual acuity just ain't up there. You ask your girlfriend, where's the butter? And she instantly points to it and it's right there. This happens all the time. This is why men and women work so well together, is that we complete each other's inadequacies, essentially. Man can't find something in the fridge, woman can, now man and woman can eat. that kind of thing. Or it's a partnership, it's a duality. And I hate feminism. I hate chauvinism because they both don't take the other sex's individual respect and capacities and particularly valuable attributes into account. Instead, you only take your own aspects and attributes into account, and as a result, you become hated by the other sex because you hate the other sex. Okay? That's what I don't like. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've argued with feminists who have called me a chauvinist or an evil man or whatever for loving my girlfriend and wanting to provide for her. Mm-hmm. That's feminism for you. And who financed it? You guessed it, the Rockefeller Foundation. And what resulted out of all this women's liberation? Women are now enslaved in the workforce just as much as men, and the wages have been devalued by half, so now children don't even have the option of having a stay-at-home mum, unless their father is incredibly exceptional in today's modern standards and is capable of paying all the bills from his one income. This used to be the norm, and now the norm is to have two absentee parents who are so tired from working that they cannot raise their children. Dr. Roman said attributing women's emotions to the reproduction was deeply embedded in many cultures. There is this troublesome tendency that if a woman is distressed, anxious, or depressed, to automatically think there's a hormonal explanation for it. No, yeah, absolutely. Not to think it might be something happening in her life, such as her work or home life. And have you noticed how we try to find scientific explanations rather than sociological explanations for things happening all the time, so that we don't have to understand what's going on in other people's lives because we just don't freaking care? I'm certain there are other explanations to do with social processes, interpersonal processes, social support, her physical health, how much recognition she's getting for what she's accomplishing, what's going on in her key relationships. It's exactly these are words that have come out of my mouth before. To support this, researchers also asked 500 women what factors influence their moods. It's not a large study by any attempt, but we didn't prompt them to mention menstrual cycle or reproduction, and under 2% volunteered that explanation. In another study, women were misled about the date of their period was due to start, resulting in more symptoms being reported at that time. Further proof that it's not necessarily biological factors at work, she said. Psychological factors are very, very powerful. Why do you think stress causes 90% of all illness? Because what's going on up here in your brain pan affects what's going on everywhere else. The body is a system. The body is a machine. If one cog is out of joint and ain't running in line with the rest of the cogs, the whole machine begins to break down. This is why society is breaking down, because all of these things that we are fueling our machines with, all of these things that we are fueling our brains with, all these things that we are entertaining our brains with, are toxic and lacking in nutrition. And so hence, the body breaks down, the mind breaks down, and society breaks down, and people blame it on your period. What we're trying to tease apart is how much comes from the biology of reproduction and how much more comes from external happenings in a woman's life. Dr. Romans emphasized that the literature review did not look at premenstrual dysphoric disorder. Dr. Romans, who spent 8 years in Canada, has since moved to a University of Otago in New Zealand, where she is a professor of psychological medicine. Nutritionist and author Libby Weaver said that her experience of dealing with clients with PMS, which is also referred to as premenstrual tension, PMT, their symptoms were very real. A woman doesn't just dream up impatience, feelings of anxiety, and swollen, heavy, tender breasts and clots the size of golf balls that come out of them. They don't make that up. Dr. Weaver said women with PMS tended to have higher levels of estrogen leading into their periods and lower levels of progesterone than was ideal. You can take supplements that can balance your hormones. And I've met many women who have, polycystic ovaries and a number of other reproductive problems. And their periods are so intense that they have 4 boxes of paracetamol in their cupboard for just when their period sets in, because otherwise they virtually can't function because their cramps and pain is so irrevocably intense for them. Now, this is a small percentage, perhaps, according to these studies. And I think, well, you know, frankly, as a male, we don't have any of these problems. Okay, there's an old joke, and this is a sexist joke, and I apologize to the female listeners out there. And it's a chauvinist joke. He says, you can't trust women. You can't trust something that bleeds for 7 days and doesn't die. And I was thinking about this. You can't trust scientists either. And you can't trust pop psychology either. Because you're a real woman. I'm a real man. And it doesn't matter what kind of explanations or kind of restrictions that we put on ourselves because of our gender, our social status, our capacity to think. The mere fact that you're putting a restriction on yourself at all means your biological functions are sitting in a back seat and you're allowing your mind to dictate your moods rather than your health and your well-being and your position in life, which you're supposed to enjoy and grow and flourish and thrive in the process of until you die. You listen to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again sometime. Ladies and gentlemen, assuredly.